With the sound of the seventh trumpet being blown, the bowl judgments will unfold, and with that will come the last sweep of judgments. From this point forward, God will not intervene to give man further opportunity to repent. Restraint is to be removed and the Antichrist is to be revealed. The forces of God and Satan will meet in the final confrontation. The appointed delay is over and the period of the end is set into motion.
The book of Revelation provides us with a glimpse of God's timeline for the future. With wild imagery that describes a cosmic battle of good versus evil, this final book in the Bible describes God's unveiling of the end times. So what are we to make of the revelation given to John? And what's our place in the story? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his study in Revelation chapter 10, in which we're introduced to a new character. He titled today's message, A Strong Angel, A Strange Assignment. Chuck begins with prayer.
Father, we come from all different ages and stages of life. We are in the midst of a journey that takes us from time into eternity. We realize we have no corner on all of the answers. The truth is, we're better at questions than we are with answers. We're still in a learning curve with this thing called life. And so you brought us to this moment, on this day, at this hour, for the single purpose of being better prepared to face at least a week of time, to say nothing of a lifetime. Help us in the midst of the journey to keep focused. Deliver us from a wild fanaticism, from such extremism as to be so foolish as to think that we understand all that's occurring. For many of the things, we do not. And so many of the things that or about us are not what they seem, since this battle is going on. So help us to find our way through it and in the midst of it to know a source of power and strength that comes through a knowledge of your Son. We thank you for the joy connected with good music. Thank you for the privilege of singing your praises, for the fun of worship, for the excitement of learning and growing together. I pray today for all the ages and all the stages of life represented at this church. Teach through the teachers of the young today. Minister through those who touch the lives of our teenagers. Speak through those who address the adults. Give hope to those who are aging and renewed strength to those who have tender newborns. And be to those without parents a father and even a mother. Thank you now, Father, for the joy of giving to your work. Be pleased in the gift and even more so in the motives behind our gifts. We give to you grateful that we have from which to give. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we all pray. Everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Revelation with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called A Strong Angel, A Strange Assignment.
Now we need a break in this story, especially this break. We've had nonstop judgments, one after another, occurring. First, there were sealed judgments, and then between the sixth and the biggest one, the seventh, there was an interlude, chapter 7 of Revelation. And at the end of chapter 7, we see the breaking of the seventh seal, and then there are the trumpet judgments. They begin in chapter 8 and on into chapter 9, and it's one after another until the end of the sixth trumpet, and then there's an interlude. That's where we are right now. This interlude takes us from 10:1 to 11:14. We need it. This is helpful. From the outpouring of judgment and wrath on unbelievers, we come to a brief reprieve of consolation and encouragement. And here we're going to learn that there won't be a delay any further. They're going to run their course, and it's going to be finished with the triumphant presence of Christ, who comes to deliver his people. Now, it's an interesting chapter in that there are some things in it that you won't find anywhere else in the Bible. First, there's communication between heaven and earth, one of the things that makes this chapter unique. And there's the appearance of this massive angel. See it for yourself. John writes in Revelation 10, verse 1, "I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven." And then John describes what he saw in that angel. "Clothed with a cloud, rainbow was upon his head, face like the sun, feet like pillars of fire." End of verse 2, "He placed his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the land." This is a massive creature. "And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices." John is in the midst of a vision, and he's back on earth. He's got sand under his feet again. And he's no longer in the heavenlies watching things transpire in God's throne room. For some reason, the Lord in the intermission brings him back down to earth, and he sees an angel that comes out of heaven. And he's got a rainbow-like turban, and he's clothed in clouds, and he's got one foot on a continent and one foot on the ocean. And he's massive, like a giant statue standing astride sections of this earth. Why, first thought is that could be none other than an appearance of the Lord Jesus. But I don't believe that's who this is. First of all, he is called another angel. Another strong angel. See, this book has been full of angels. They're all over chapter 9 blowing trumpets. They're all over chapter 8 blowing trumpets. There are four angels beginning chapter 7. I mean, they're all over the place. So this is another angel. You say, well, it could be the Lord who is revealed here in this fashion. But the word "another" is intriguing. The Greeks had two ways to write "another." We only have one. Our word "another" can mean another of the same kind or another of a different kind. The Greeks had the same thing, but they've got two different words for it. The first, "another of a different kind," is the Greek word heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, heteros. It means different from the others. And then there's the other word that means another of the same kind. It's the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, another of the same kind. This is the word "another of the same kind." Jesus would not be another angel of the same kind, would he? Furthermore, this angel later on swears, verse 6, "by him who lives forever and ever, who created things in heaven, things on earth, and things in the sea." Now, if he were Christ, he would swear unto himself. But since he is not, he is swearing to one who is divine, who is the creator, separating him from the category of the Lord Jesus. Furthermore, Christ is never presented in the New Testament as an angel. He is in the Old Testament, but not in the New. So we have this gigantic angel appearing, and he has a rainbow on his head. So much I could say about these symbols. I just mentioned this one. Rainbow is the symbol of mercy. Remember its origin? When there was a universal flood in the days of Noah, at the end of the flood, the Lord said, there will never be another flood across the whole earth. And he gave us the rainbow as a sign of his mercy in relieving us from the threat or the fear of another universal flood. What we are not told is the name of the angel. Some of my sources said that he is Gabriel. I swear to you, I have looked all over to find that to be true, and there's nothing in the book that says his name is Gabriel. So they don't know what they're talking about. They think his name is Gabriel. It makes for nice writing, and you could say that, but I have no reason to say it's Gabriel or Michael. Seems a unique role this angel fills for this time, where he comes down out of heaven, and I left out a very important part of this angel. Verse 2 tells us he had a little scroll in his hand. It's open. See, the scroll that's been carved on this pulpit, it's made to look like an ancient scroll, and it's open. And if it were actual, you would see writing within. And when you, it's like opening a book. When you open a book, you're able to read it. So here is a scroll you could read. Nothing secret about it. The angel has it open in his hand. We'll come back to the little scroll in a minute, but just want you to note that it's here. Now, he sends forth this sound. He cries with a loud voice as a lion would roar. I'm told by those in the wilderness that you can hear a lion's roar for miles across the terrain of a wilderness. It's a deep sound. So this is one of those loud sounds. And following that are seven peals, waves of thunder. And verse 4 tells us when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. Now, who's I? John, of course. He's the one writing the book. So he grabs his stylus, and he's going to write down what came from the thunder, and he stopped. There is a voice from heaven, not the angel. This seems to be the voice of God. Since it comes from heaven and is not identified, well, I think we're safe in assuming that this perhaps is Christ himself or the Father. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. For the first time, John is told not to write something. So he stops. He stops short. He lays the piece of papyri aside, and he waits for further instruction. You know, I want to pause here and toss out a thought that is worth some time for each one of us. There are times in our lives where the Lord has us stop doing what we have been doing over and over and over again. He's pleased in that. For some reason, unrevealed, both here and in our lives, we're not told why. It's just made known to us we're to stop doing that. You perhaps have done it so many times, you form the habit of it. This is what you normally and regularly do. And then you get a sense of uneasiness within your spirit. And we who are Christians and walk hopefully rather sensitively before the Lord, we get this very definite screeching of the brakes. And we're told in so many ways, don't do that again. Or don't do that now. Now, the reason I mention that is how much I value John's sensitivity. The psalmist says that the Lord will guide us with his eye. The eye makes no noise when it moves. It sends out no light. So if you want to follow the leading of another's eyes, you have to be looking at those eyes. The point is, you are in your walk so sensitive that when the Lord turns and has you move in another direction, directing you with his eyes, you realize this is not to keep on, I'm not to keep on doing what I've done before. I'm to change here. It's to be different. And that happens with John. In fact, he's told to seal up those things so we never know what was said from the thunder. Now back to the angel. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever. Could be none other than swearing in the name of the Lord God, since he's the one who created heaven and things in it, earth and things in it, and sea and things in it. And the swearing or the oath is there will be delay no longer. Before we get to the oath, I want you to notice the raising of the hand. That is a very interesting gesture, the raising of the hand. I did a little search and found that it is mentioned frequently in the Old Testament. For example, Genesis 14, Abram says, I have lifted up my hand unto Jehovah, God Most High, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, I have made Abram rich. He lifts his hand before the oath, and he says to the king of Sodom, I will not take a thing from you. And I swear before God, I don't want anyone ever to think that the king of Sodom made me rich. We still have the gesture today before our president takes the oath of office. He's told to raise his hand. When you appear in the courtroom to this day, you raise your hand before you make your statement. It's as if to say with an open palm, I openly declare before the one to whom I will ultimately be accountable that what passes from my lips will be true. I will speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And in this case, it's even more serious in that he is giving this oath before the Lord as if to say, I represent what he wants to be known on the earth. And what is that? There will be delay no longer. Do you remember when the martyrs over in chapter 6 of Revelation asked, how long must they wait for the avenging of their blood? I'm referring to Revelation 6, verse 10. They cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? He's now answering that prayer. It's taken a while, but he's answering. The delay will be no longer. You will wait no longer. In other words, with the sound of the seventh trumpet being blown, the bowl judgments will unfold, and with that will come the last sweep of judgments. And there will be no delay. It will run its course quickly. Robert Mounts writes, from this point forward, God will not intervene to give man further opportunity to repent. Restraint is to be removed and the Antichrist is to be revealed. The forces of God and Satan will meet in the final confrontation. This is the time of trouble as has never before been. Daniel 12, 1. It is the darkness before the dawn, the awesome period of Satan's wrath. The appointed delay is over and the period of the end is irrevocably set into motion. There will be no further delay. This is all yet future, but in those days it will bring great relief to those who have prayed that it would hasten. But, he adds in verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, that's the final trumpet sounding of that, the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Intriguing statement. Charles Ryrie writes in his study Bible, that this mystery of God is truth concerning God himself, which will not be revealed until his kingdom is established on earth. The whole unfolding of God's plan, an understanding of why he did what he did, a realization of how wrong and right work together for good, ultimately, and for God's glory. All of that will be finished and unfolded and unveiled. It'll be revealed. Now, we're not through with chapter 10. John is given a strange assignment. Verse 8, he goes back to the voice which he had heard from heaven. The voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again, speaking with me and saying, go, take the scroll which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. John is told to approach this enormous creature, this angel who is standing with the scroll open in his hand. And so I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter or sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. Is that weird or what? And so I thought, well, I'm gonna check the Greek. Maybe the Greek doesn't say eat it. Maybe the Greek says chew it, but doesn't say eat it, and it says eat it. So I thought, okay, Sunday's coming. I gotta work on this one. But you know, it isn't the first time that someone is told to eat a scroll. Ezekiel, end of chapter 2, beginning of chapter 3, there's a big scroll written on both sides, and Ezekiel ate it. Jeremiah is told in the midst of all of the troubles of Judah, he's given God's scroll, and he said, your word was found, and I did eat them, and your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah 15:16. It's a great verse of scripture. Your words came and I ate them, and they were sweet. The psalmist calls the law of the Lord a sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, remember? And Psalm 119:103 refers to the word of God being sweet like honey. Well, John is about to experience that. You are to take the scroll and you eat it, and it will make your stomach sour but it will be sweet in your mouth. Sort of God's recipe for sweet and sour scroll, I guess we could say. I couldn't pass that up. You know I couldn't. This is from me, John. Here is a sweet truth, but understand, as it begins to be digested, and I'm going to take this now in the spiritual sense of when you will grasp it and understand it, it will become bitter. It will be sweet going in. It will be bitter as you see the whole unfolding of the story. Things are happening that we don't realize. There's a war going on. And each one of us has a role to play that's significant, crucial even. And so John, and look at his obedience. I took the little scroll, verse 10, out of the angel's hand, and I ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. It turned my stomach. I think as John tasted the good word, he grasped it. He completely appropriated it. I would use the word assimilate. He assimilated God's plan. And in doing so, as it began to come clear to him, he saw the ultimate fearful wrath against those who stand against the living God. It was harsh. It was bitter.
You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of pastor and author Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's study in Revelation chapter 10, A Strong Angel, A Strange Assignment. It's an alarming scene that depicts God's coming judgment. And here at Insight for Living, we know that for some, this topic stirs up fear. It's unpleasant to think about a future world where God unleashes his wrath on those who've denied him. Plus, these studies in Revelation seem to connect with what's taking place in our world at this very moment. With wars being fought in several countries and all sorts of cultural confusion, it begs the question, are we living in the end times? Well, Chuck Swindoll wrote a booklet, not about Bible prophecy per se, but it's written for those who battle with fear. His booklet is called, How Can I Win Over Worry? The fears we nurture are often rooted in worries about the future, and when we allow those fears to fester, it undermines our peace, and it also sabotages our confidence in God's plan. We want to send you a copy of Chuck's booklet, How Can I Win Over Worry? We'd be pleased to do that when you give a contribution to the Ministry of Insight for Living. You can address your donation to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or you can call us at 800-772-8888. In closing, I want to underscore that your voluntary donations are truly making a difference. I recently saw a note from one of our listeners that said, "Thank you for presenting the unpasteurized Word of God." Well, you can be sure that Insight for Living will never filter or water down God's message. To partner with us by giving a donation today, call us at 800-772-8888. Or to send a gift in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also give online at insight.org/donate. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book to help you study the Bible on your own. It's called Searching the Scriptures, Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. But you don't need to own the book to get started, and here's why. Insight for Living Ministries has provided daily study notes that follow Chuck's messages. They're called Searching the Scriptures, and you'll find them at insight.org/studies. Each day, Chuck prompts you to prepare a spiritual meal for yourself. First, you start with preparation. Then make your own observations. Next, work on the interpretation. Then look for the correlation. And finally, draw application. Too many people try to go it alone without a guide for this life and the next. Chuck shows you how to fix your own biblical meals, and then he invites you to feast on the nourishing truth you discover. Print out the PDF or make your notes online, whatever you prefer. In the end, you'll come away with a nutritious spiritual meal that satisfies your soul. Go to insight.org/studies. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe a strong angel with a strange assignment. Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Strong Angel, A Strange Assignment, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.